Trees can't speak, but John Eisenhower speaks their language. Talking Trees with Rosie on the House.
Love that music.
This gentleman has a five-year-old lemon tree, two lemons last year, and only three blossoms now. Wants to know, do they keep limping this along or cut it down? Sounds like they're looking to use it for produce.
Yeah, that's not a good sign that the tree's not heading in the right direction. Yeah, it's hard to say without looking at it. You know, if it still has a lot of foliage, there could be some reasons why it doesn't have a bloom right now. But if it's really languishing in that location for whatever reason, yeah, sometimes it is, a consideration just to cut your losses with some of these trees and put a new one in. And if you've given it adequate time, fertilized it, and improved the cultural conditions, made sure that it's not planted too deep, and it's still not doing well, you know, it might be time to remove it. Sometimes they'll have girdling roots, and, you know, they were poor quality nursery stock, and it's just was left in the container too long, and it has circling roots, and they're underground, and they're not getting, they're not radiating out into the native soil. You know, sometimes these trees just don't do well, and you can tell they're not going to ever do well because of that. And time to, you know, pull them out and go to one of the better nurseries and start again. Speaking of which, if you're wanting to buy that replacement tree, you for whatever reason have taken a tree out, we've got a great article on our website at itreeservice.com, the letter I, treeservice.com. It's called Small to Medium Shade Trees. And I put together this list of my favorite trees of varying heights. So you could kind of get at a glance, kind of see which trees are in a certain height range that might be appropriate replacement trees. These are ones that we found over the years have been very, you know, people have been very successful planting. And I give a few of just a brief description of each one. But it's a starting place. If you want to take that list with you, you know, print it off the website and just take it to the nursery, you can go to the nursery and look around at those trees and see one that would that you'd like to use to plant back in your yard. I wanted to say one last thing about tree removals. You know, if you have a larger tree, some people are, you know, like myself, are kind of a do-it-yourselfer, and if there's something I can do on my own rather than paying a tradesman to come out, try to do it on your own. And that's, you know, what we've encouraged our homeowners to do is to take, you know, I've done a lot of pruning classes. My greatest delight is for some of my customers to gain some pruning skills so they don't have to have us out there to do some of their pruning. They'll get their pruning shears out there and do some trimming. When it comes to tree removals, maybe it'd be better to spend a couple $100 and buy a small chainsaw and take down one of those smaller trees. But there's a point at which it's better to refer that work to professionals. And it comes when that tree gets a little bit too tall and it could be risky to drop it, or you actually have to be up on a ladder to start trimming branches off. That's at a point at which it might be better to lean on a professional. And there's some great companies all across town, including our own, that specialize in this with specialized equipment. Quite often during our tree removal processes, we'll even use a crane to assist our climbers in bringing some of that heavy wood down to the ground. And of course, with our larger, huge, 90 to 150 foot tall pines or eucalyptus trees, there's crane assistance is almost a necessity to be able to do them safely. Also, in restricted areas where a crane doesn't have access, you know, good qualified companies can do technical rigging, and they can set up the necessary equipment on ground and above ground to rig those branches down safely so they can be lowered and not damage the understory trees and shrubs. So it's a pretty technical business. And, you know, if you're kind of out of your depth on a project like that, you know, be sure to call a local ISC certified arborist and get a couple quotes and get the job done safely. Just a word of warning, because we've heard of some, there's some stuff on YouTube that it's pretty scary what people have tried to do on their own and putting ladders up in trees with chainsaws and not being tied in. And it's terrible to see what happens.
And sometimes professionals can make mistakes too. One of the funniest pictures I've ever seen is they publish the ISA publication. It's got a guy, tree worker, obviously. He's got all the equipment on. He's got the face mask. He's got the chainsaw chaps, all the precautions. With his foot, he's shoving tree limbs into the chipper.
Oh, yeah. Never want to do that. Yeah, don't. Chippers take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
Yeah, I mean, it's a terrible thing to even talk about.
I mean, he didn't get, obviously, hurt, but yeah, that's just like, you're taking all this time, you put all this up, and then shove your foot in the...
Yeah, the Z-133 safety standard that we abide by in the tree industry, you know, prohibits any limb, arm, or leg to be extended over the edge of the feed table. You need to be standing at the side of the feed table and feeding the brush into the chipper carefully from the side, where you're not at risk of being pulled into the chipper. The last thing you ever want to do is use a limb to push a branch through and get your foot or caught in the limb and get pulled through the chipper.
Now, it seems like whenever we talk trees, we can never get through it right now without talking about sisses, but this one's interesting. This homeowner had a play pool in the backyard. The pool was filled in and has a sisu tree that was planted in it. So you've got a tree inside of an old abandoned pool.
Mm-hmm.
The sisu tree was cracking the sidewalk around the pool, and so they took it out. But now they missed the shade and want to know what they can put back in there. And will anything they plant run into the sisu tree roots, or is that not a problem?
Yeah, no problem if those sisu roots are entirely dead. That's a difficult thing with the sisus, is kind of controlling them, because they are very prolific growers and the roots are difficult to kill. But yeah, the beauty of the, or one of the real benefits of sisus, is they're really fast growing. That's why they're so popular. But that advantage is actually, you know, part of the problem with them, is they become so aggressive that they often outgrow a landscape, and then you've got real difficulties with controlling the roots. Yeah, there's some taller replacement trees. Yeah, I think of the shoestring acacia, any number of the eucalyptus varieties. A Texas live oak is more vertical than it is wide. So there's several taller trees. Even the ash tree might be appropriate if you have a mesic landscape that supported that sisu. An ash tree might be a good choice for replacement. I like the idea of putting a sisu tree in an old swimming pool, because with sisu trees, you're trying to control the root, and the actual walls of the pool would be a natural root barrier, so the roots could never get outside the pool. So I kind of like the idea, but it sounds like this one was actually cracking the pool deck or bond beam or the actual pool itself. That's pretty amazing, but it doesn't surprise me. The sisu trees will never surprise me at what they've done. What we've seen in the landscapes is just amazing how they are so destructive.
Now, I've got a couple of red push pistache that I've put on the west side of our arena. And the oldest ones now, I'm going to say, are probably 5 years old now. Probably about 10 feet taller than me. So, well, you know, they're getting up there. Man, what a pretty tree and what a great shape. I don't spend a lot of time clipping them or manicuring them or trimming them. Any branch that starts growing down, I trim out. Mm. But all the rest of them, I just kind of leave to let it fill out.
Sure.
Man, that they grow very symmetrical.
Yeah, they do have a pretty well defined, you know, central leader often, and they, yeah, they just have a beautiful wide shade canopy. The one in my front yard is just amazing, and I again planted it myself, and it's just gotten to be 10 inches in diameter, 12 inches in diameter now, and it's 25 feet across, 25 feet tall, and just provides a beautiful shade in our front. But you know what I really love about it is this time of year when it puts on
the
its
red
leaves
and green,
and just putting on that the new leaves. I mean, I know there's hundreds of listeners this morning who have those deciduous trees that first flush of growth in the spring is just beautiful. No matter what deciduous tree you own, there's something about that new life that's on display this time of year is just a really unique and a beautiful thing to see. But the red push pistache is just unique in that it has a beautiful color, and
all the old leaves are leaves blooming on old wood are green.
Mm-hmm.
Everything new flushing out the extended growth of the tree
is red.
Yeah, so you've got the red-green contrast that is a lot of fun.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they just planted a whole bunch of little pistache in the traffic median between the little access road and Cactus Road right along 54th Street and between 52nd and 54th Street. And they're beautiful. It's a little tiny planting spot there. I hope that they're gonna survive that in that little area. But I just thought, man, I love their choice, you know, because it's going to be a beautiful little display of trees there in a couple of years. It's to give a little privacy, a little sound abatement between the traffic and the homes along the street there. But those homeowners must have petitioned the city to put something in there to give them some screening. So we'll see how they do. They're nice trees.
They are nice trees. If you've got the room for it. Like you said, yours is 25 feet across, so it's not not necessarily a small space tree, but a great long-term shade tree.
Yeah, no, and I planted mine in a limited planting space, but I installed a root barrier. So those of you who do want to put a larger tree in a smaller space, you can, at the time of planting, install a root barrier around the perimeter of that planting space to prevent root encroachment up against the hardscape elements in the area. Again, a certified arborist in your area can give you advice on how to install one.
You'd also mentioned the live oak. There's I think it's called a red, Texas red live oak, that's another really, I don't see them very much, but when I do, I always think, man,
Yeah, it's not a live oak. It's actually another type of quercus. It's another oak, but it is a red oak. It's not a Virginiana. They're beautiful. They have a larger leaf, and I don't see them around as often, but they seem to do quite well here. They're adapted, so I'd love to see if the nurseries would start carrying those, because I think they'd be really, really popular. Again, one of only a few trees that give us a little bit of fall color as well.
Talking Trees with certified arborist John Eisenhower. We've got one more segment coming up, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you, and we're going to talk a little bit about bug and infestation on trees and how to solve that here. We've got a huge bug and weed season, and if you're looking to eliminate anything around your house that crawls or creeps or ticks or tweaks, it's eight to eliminate by our friends at Bonide, family made in America. Bonide 8 insect controls, most common lawn and garden insects, affected on more than 100 insects. You can use it on trees, shrubs, flowers, vegetables, even fruit. Eliminate with 8. You can find Bonide all over the state, including Treeland Nurseries in Mesa, Mesquite Valley Growers in Tucson, or Summer Winds in Phoenix. Just one of the many Bonide tools for all your landscape and garden needs. If you're looking to eliminate, it's 8.